Hi, and welcome to the Roxy Hayes Podcast. I'm Roxy Hayes, your host, and this is the podcast where I get to dive deep into all the things I'm curious about, whether it's nerd culture, pop culture, relationships, or just the wonderfully weird and interesting world around us. Some episodes will be totally off the cuff, and sometimes we'll have special episodes where I revive my old shows like Bedtime Bitchin', Anti-Meridian, and Tell Me a Story. But no matter what, it's always going to be a fun, unpredictable ride. So sit back and let's get into it. Y'all, and welcome back to the Roxy Hayes Podcast, where chaos meets comfort and nostalgia meets nerddom. Today I'm hyped because we have one of my favorite creators, comedians, and all-around hilarious humans to hear more. Yay! No soundboard, gang. You may know him from Wording Is Hard, More to the Story, Squadcast, stand-up, acting, content creating, and hustling nonstop. The man don't sleep. Let's fucking go. I love it. I'm very excited. And I like you as a person. I don't like a lot of people. I wanted to say that.
Yeah, I
fuck with to hear. Thank you. We both hate people. All right, so let's go ahead and get into what I wanted to talk to you about today, which is comfort media. We're going to talk about movies, TV shows, everything that we enjoy. So let's go ahead and start it off with, what do you feel like is a movie that like represents you as a person? Like, this is the movie you put in when you're like, hey, I want you to get to know me.
Ooh, get to know me. This is, I wish you would have gave me this question in advance.
Nope, we're going raw.
Oh, wow. Slow it down, baby girl.
No pause.
Man, you know what? I honestly would have to say Whiplash.
Whiplash? Ooh. Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with that movie.
I just watched it because everybody was like, no, this movie is great. And I was like, okay, let me see. Yeah. That shit hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good movie. Miles Taylor, J.K. Simmons. And it's about the journey of a pretty good drunk player who wants to be a great drum player and the lengths that he's willing to go to achieve that status and to be able to train under somebody. The character that J.K. Simmons plays, you know, he's known to be intense, but he's also known to bring out the best or the worst in people. So, you know, at one part of the movie, you know, Miles Taylor, like, he's like, no, I need to focus on just this. I can't be in no relationships. I can't hang with family. You know what I'm saying? You see his character change and really like lean into what he thought he wanted at the time. And yeah, man, it's just a really good movie that, like, for creatives, I feel like we all get to a point where we have to make that decision, like, what are we willing to sacrifice? And I'm not saying whether he was right or wrong with what he did. I'm just saying, like, we all come to that. Like, you know, moving to LA is a sacrifice. You know that you're not going to be home. You're not going to be around your normal group of friends and family. You're going to miss birthday parties. You're going to miss anniversaries. You're going to miss hangouts, kickbacks, all of that type of stuff. Are you willing to go the distance for what you believe in? And so that movie just really, I love that movie so much. I bought the soundtrack. Like, I didn't just get it off of Apple. Like, I bought the soundtrack. I want these songs with me forever. So, like, yeah. And then I'm a big band nerd as well. Like, I played 4 instruments when I was in band, so.
Oh, you know. I did not know that. What instrument?
I played clarinet, bass clarinet, tenor, and alto sax. And then I could also play bass and snare drum, too, but I didn't do that regularly, so I don't really count those, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, play some instruments.
Yeah, man.
Why don't you be playing? I want to see.
Marching and concert band, man. I was in both.
Do you don't make any content about with you playing instruments? I want to see that.
I don't, because shit, I live in an apartment, so I don't have the space.
Oh, yeah.
Or the freedom to play and rehearse the way I need to. You know what I'm saying? I would have to go to the park, be playing my saxophone, and I ain't got the space for no snare drums. I could play on the mat, but I'm not gonna go commit to that right now. So
well, whenever you do, I hope that you're able to do that.
Absolutely not. I'm not telling you. What I look like as a 41-year-old man. Like, yo, come over, check me out, play this
record. I want a Tahir jam session.
I feel like that would be the equivalent of me trying to become a rapper at this age.
No. Well, I think it's one thing if you're doing it. Nah, you know what? No. I feel like the connotation or like what is felt with rap is completely different than what's felt with like live instruments. I'm not saying like, hey, Tahir, go on a roll with the clarinet and fuck comedy and be a clarinet player. But I think if you dropped a video of you playing the clarinet, the people going crazy.
I mean, they might. You know what I'm saying? The last instrument that I played frequently was the tenor sax. So I probably would start there. But because they're all woodwinds, I would, you know, the scale is all about the same. So I might be able to fall back into it. But I would probably start with the tenor sax if I did anything.
Hey, do that now. Maybe it's just for me. Yes, it's just for me. I don't care. I didn't know. That's so dope. So I am gonna ask you, I mean, you said you're not saying if he was right or wrong. Do you feel like he was right or wrong, or you feel like it's more like a gray area?
I don't think he was wrong for what he believed in. I think that he might have did, and again, I don't want to spoil the movie for anybody that might hear this and want to go see it.
Yeah.
Just know that, you know, like I think it's about how bad you want it, how bad what you're willing to sacrifice. Like some people, family is the most important thing to them, so they wouldn't be willing to sacrifice family time. Some people, their partner is the most important thing to them. They want to make that ascension with their partner in hand. Some people, you know, the craft, the skill is the most important thing. So it's really about who you are as a person and what your boundaries are and what your morals are and what you're willing to hold on to and what you're willing to, you know, sacrifice to get to where you want to be.
Hey, that's bars. Bars! I remember even with me like moving out here to LA, a lot of people would be like, oh, did you bring your daughter? And I'm like, yeah, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's my child. But for a lot of them, they were like, oh no, like, I left my child with my family so that I can completely focus on, you know, whatever it is, comedy, acting, whatever. And for me, I was like, I can't fucking fathom living without my child in my house. But like you said, some other people, they're like, no, I live for the craft and the art and like making money. And I will say, having the child in the house, it is harder to balance like going out at night and doing all of that shit versus somebody that doesn't have their child in the house. The time is yours, but I personally wouldn't want to do that.
And then you know what? Sometimes I think, you know, because sometimes I feel like people get a bad rap for like leaving a kid, but if you're willing to sacrifice staying on somebody's couch and you know you got a kid, like you don't want to bring your kid into that environment.
Yeah.
Right? If you're moving out here with just a dollar and a dream and you know you got a kid, but you got family that's going to support you to be there to take care and help you along the way with a kid, I understand, you know what I'm saying, you know, leaving the kid with the family, going back and check on them as much as possible, and then sending for them when you're in a position to, you know, have a stable living area, because it's kids are resilient. They can go through a lot of stuff, but if they don't have to, why would you put them through that? You know what I mean? So if you got family that's going to be able to support you on that, then, you know, I say do that, because that's one less mouth that you have to worry about feeding. That's one less body that you got to worry about laying down. If you stand on somebody's couch, you know what I'm saying? Like, you hope this person's a good person, but at the same time, that's your kid. I would rather have my child with family. Someone, that family that I trust and I knew and I grew up with, than some person that I got cool with off of online or met at one.
Like we was in a Facebook group, whoa.
Exactly, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just a lot. But I also understand people who came up in family as everything. Like you said, like I can't even fathom being without my daughter, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Your daughter could be the best part of you getting home after a long day of no's, or, you know, just trying shit out and stay. So, like, you know, I understand both sides of it. My kid, 19. I ain't got to worry about that shit. You feel me?
Hey, I got 2 more years, man. I am finna. That's what I'm like. I'm finna be dirt. After that, I will be able to fathom. I'm finna be out.
I will be able to fathom. It's crazy.
But, yeah, I mean, what you said is just interesting. It really is all about perspective. Because, like you said, if you got family that has the means and ability to do something, like you said, you're going back and checking up. Hey, man, I feel like whatever works, whatever. What is it? Different strokes, different folks. Everybody yeah. got different yeah. shit and way that they handle stuff. But that's interesting. I never would have thought that movie. I don't know what movie I would have thought for you.
Yeah.
But I never would have thought Whiplash. Yeah. For me, it is definitely, I talk about this movie probably every damn episode. Howl's Moving Castle.
Wait, what? What is it called?
Howl's Moving Castle. It's a Studio Ghibli movie. It's about it's about a hatter that ends up being a spell put on her by this lady named the Witch of the Waste, and it's this fine ass wizard named Howl, and she ends up living it, getting turned to an old lady, and she moves into his castle.
I love that you went with a cartoon. I don't know if this is anime, but I love that
it is definitely anime.
And I'm looking at the IMDb because I definitely went there, and it's got some names on it. You got Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
Emily Mortimer. I'm going to have to check this out.
It's some heat.
It's some heat in here.
It is one of legit my favorite movies, and I watch it like multiple times a week. Like, it's like the movie I put on to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I watch the Japanese and the English version.
Okay.
But like, I just have watched this movie so much, I started to analyze it, and I legit was like, why the fuck do I like this movie so much, and like, why does it resonate with me? So
mm-hmm.
one of the things is like the main chick, Sophie, she
deep throats donuts.
Oh, hey.
Okay.
Hey.
My bad. I didn't know.
Yo, why is that video circling back? It's like every 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
That video starts circling back.
You can never go into politics. Never.
Yo, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Maybe I could.
No.
Like, do you want this throat for
wow.
for your humanity? You know what's funny, to pause with the other thing I was saying. For those of y'all that don't know, I am having like thyroid surgery. But why? So if you don't know, a lot of people don't know what a thyroid is. Motherfuckers mm-hmm. thought it was in my thigh,
mm-hmm.
but it's in my throat. And so like, why were all of my exes texting me like, "Oh no, not your throat. We need that." Hey, man. Like the first time, I'm like, "Oh, this is funny." But then a lot of them started sending, and I was like, "Okay,
you might need to reevaluate your circle, friend."
They're exes.
Yeah.
These are not
and sometimes you know what, I don't block people that much, but sometimes you got to. Like lately yeah. I've been blocking people. I've also been in like in a kind of a state of enlightenment, if you will.
Ooh.
And I haven't been out. I stopped drinking. I'm completely sober. There's no weed, no substances. I hike 3 days a week, and then on the other days I go to the gym. Yeah. I'm in this new space, and you know, it's in blocking people and separating myself from people kind of comes with that. So yeah, I want the same for you, friend. Okay.
You say hey, block them up out of here. Yeah. I will say I have been blocking more people online. I used to not do it because I'm like, I want to argue. But no, I started blocking people, and then I'll block the people that like the comment that I didn't like.
Yeah.
It does feel good. I'm like, hey, you can go to.
Are you riding with them? Are you riding with them?
Yeah, oh, you less. Agree?
Say
you, oh, I'm a fat bitch. Cool. Block. All of you. The lot of you. Back to Howl's Moving Castle. So I did a thing, right? I was like, mm-hmm. let me actually analyze this. And so this is what I came up with. And once I say it, I think you'll be like, oh, that makes sense. So like for Sophie's character, she's a person that's been like super underestimated, like kind of overlooked, like, you know, she doesn't, people don't really understand who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like she's powerful, but in a way that, same shit, like people don't necessarily understand the power. And then like she just really wants to be free and feel free.
Okay.
And also for me, I have been learning, I'm also on a healing journey, and being like okay with not being like strong all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like being okay with like somebody else helping me, being okay with like feeling soft.
Mm-hmm.
And like understanding that's not like me being a bitch. Because mm-hmm. I smooth would be like, oh, you think I'm pussy? You think I'm pussy for real? But like, I'm, especially with like going into this surgery and like the outpouring of love and all of this stuff that I've been getting is so fucking weird. And like, it's just weird because I'm not used to it, and I still be like, ew, nasty, like, stop loving me. But I'm getting okay with like, oh, like, y'all love me, and like, you don't want anything from me, you're just loving me because you love me, and it still feels nasty. So yeah, watching that, you should watch the movie, and then once you watch it, you'll get
I'm on it. You said, let me know where I can get what streaming.
It's on HBO Max.
Okay. All right. Say less.
It's on HBO Max. I will watch. I mean, honestly, I'm always like sub over dub, but I'm cool with the English dub. Christian Bell does a great performance, and I would definitely fuck Hal from Housewives.
Every time you say you will smash a cartoon character, it's
funny. I would tear that man up something proper. You hear me? He's toxic though. He's toxic a little bit, but yeah. I like it.
I was just gonna say, so are you though. You be on that.
You too. I'm glad you enlightened, but you a little toxic too. That's why we're friends.
Hey man.
Lovingly toxic. So what do you feel like is a movie that represents like your childhood? Like, this is when you see this movie, it instantly reminds you of like childhood.
Oh man, instant reminds me of childhood. That would probably have to be Hook.
Oh, that's a good ass movie. Yeah, man.
Up with Robin Williams, bro. Like him and Rufio. You know what I'm saying? Like, that movie just, for me, it embodied my childhood. You know, having a kid at a very early age, being forced to grow up. You know, like it just, man, bro. Like, that movie was so fun, and it really encourages you to not lose your sense of imagination. And I feel like that's what a lot of us do when we become adults and we get responsibility. I honestly feel like children have all the answers. I feel like if you got a group of kids and some fucking nerdy ass scientists, and the scientists ask them like, yo, this is cancer, this is what it does to a body, how would you guys fix this? Or this is world hunger, and this is how many people are hungry, and these are the places where the most world hunger is affecting. How would you guys fix this? Because kids operate without the limitations and without all the knowledge of economics and all the knowledge of laws like gravity and Newton's law and all. They think so far outside of the box that they will come up with stuff that obviously are outside of the parameters of reality, but it would be so far-fetched that maybe like, you know what? That's not a bad idea. If we do this and this and switch this with this, this could actually work, because we limit ourselves because we have the knowledge. We know the parameters. We know the boundaries of reality and what we could push and all of that. But that imagination is what keeps us young. It keeps us youthful. It keeps us just different. You know, I think some of the best comedians, one of my favorites, CP, the way he comes up with jokes. It's like, I don't know if you've seen the joke about his cousin that's in the crazy house. Like,
yeah,
that joke is so wow. It's so imaginative. It's so creative. It's so youthful. It's like a child would have wrote that, because it's so outside of the box. And I think that especially in entertainment, it is vital that we hold on to that, because that is what's going to give us the edge on the competition and make us stand out.
Oh, hey, you cooking today.
Oh,
I got my apron on, baby.
Yeah, I got this HelloFresh. I'm about to go crazy in the kitchen.
Hey, do HelloFresh hit? I mean, I know it's what you season it, but does it hit?
It does hit. I mean, like anything, like you said, it's what you season with it. But it's also like you have the opportunity to pick what you want, unless you want them to do it for you. But, you know, picking what you want also like gives you an opportunity. Oh, I had this last time. I'm going to try this time with a little bit more, you know, whatever, lemon pepper, cumin, whatever. But, yeah, I fuck with it. You know what I mean? I fuck with HelloFresh. I had zesting lemons. I had never zested.
You got a zest?
I had zested a lemon, bro. I had got that lemon, the peel off of that a little bit, threw that in the pot. Yo, I was like, I felt like I was Gordon Ramsay in a bitch.
Fucking, yo, zest?
Yeah, man.
Zest will change the game.
Yeah, man. And I'm a big citrus person anyway. I love citrus, man. I love it. Ooh. So, I mean.
Yeah, I made some lemon blueberry cream cheese muffins, and I zested that shit on there with like some brown sugar. Oh, the fucking rep! But I be putting protein up in there too, just so
that makes sense.
Like it's healthy.
I appreciate that because I was wondering how many things you were gonna add to that. I made some lemon, blueberry, ricotta cheese, cream cheese.
Ricotta cheese in there would have took it to the next. You know what? I might make that this week.
Yeah, man. You know yeah,
and I'll be out here chefing it up.
That's how you keep that back the same size, man. Keep going.
You know what? Hey, all right.
You said it.
Hey, it is hard booty coming in, though. You know what I'm saying?
I don't want to hear about that at all.
It is.
That is nothing.
I'll see you some pictures later.
Don't you? All right, you'll get blocked. You're going to get blocked.
Nobody wants to see these hard cheeks.
Nah, man, no. It's all good. The world is crazy enough. Relax.
Hey, so fuck you. All right, so mine would be... I don't know. I'm torn. I'm going to say both of them. It is between... Well, it's three. Harriet the Spy, Matilda, and Bebe's Kids.
I don't think I've seen Harriet the Spy, but Matilda and Bebe's Kids I completely get.
Okay. Man. Oh, for me or...
Yeah.
Well, Harriet the Spy was actually like Nickelodeon's first live action movie, but it was based on a book, and it's about a little girl that legit was just spying on people, walking around spying on people. But her spy journal gets found out by her friends, and they like ostracize her. But that was the movie that made me like want to be a writer.
Okay.
Yeah. So that one, and Matilda definitely. I just feel like Matilda.
She was a menace. Yeah, she was a menace.
Matilda was not a menace.
She was a menace, like, yeah.
She was misunderstood. She just wanted to read her books.
Right.
And people would be fucking with her.
You know,
and for me, it wasn't like family. It was like other people would be fucking with me.
Right. So your daddy was Danny DeVito.
No.
Did you?
I will say my mama was like her mama a little bit. Be like, all right, I'm leaving. It's like, you know. Here, right?
Like, did you know that the young lady that played Matilda, did you know her parent, I think it was her mom, passed while she was filming?
No, what? Mara Wilson?
Yeah, so like she Danny DeVito like really checked on her and looked out for her a lot. Because she was going through that and he really had it down for her.
Damn, you know what? And I love Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito's always been like one of those. I don't really be giving a fuck about meeting celebrities, but Danny DeVito is one that I wanted to meet. And yeah, I just looked it up. Her mom died.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom was diagnosed with breast cancer during filming, and then she later died 4 months before it was released. And so they dedicated the movie to her. Mm-hmm. That has to be a lot. And I also understand, even looking at that, you know, she retired from acting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot. Like,
yeah.
To have to keep filming while your mom is sick after she passes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
That's a lot, man. Shit.
Yeah, for sure.
R.I.P. Mama Wilson. And Danny DeVito is a stand-up dude.
Yeah.
And I didn't know him and the mom were actually married in real life till I got older. They're divorced now, but...
Wow, I didn't know that either.
They were married. Him and... What's her name? Rhea Perlman?
Okay.
Did they get back together? No, they got divorced in 2012.
Did you know that Overton and Regine were together?
I just saw that last week. What? And then people were like clipping together where you would see them like kind of looking at each other.
I just knew
he was with Sinclair.
Yeah, nah. He was really with her.
That's crazy. It's always crazy when you start hearing up about like who be fucking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never the people that you think be fucking.
Right, because I would have thought that Cal and Maxine really was fucking.
Yeah, they had some heat,
but then I found out Cal was gay. I was like, really?
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know. You know this is random, the chick that played Lynn from Girlfriends? The light-skinned hippie chick in Girlfriends.
I never watched Girlfriends.
You watch Girlfriends?
No.
My girlfriend.
Please don't. Stop. I will hang up. Do you hear me? I hate that so much.
You hate Angie Stone singing?
I hate that. I hate the delivery. I hate the tone. Like, Farron would do it around the house because she knew how much I hated it. And I was like, please, please.
That's please. Crazy. Why do you hate it so much? Did somebody in your family used to play it, or you just was like, this ain't it for me?
No, I just it's not the show. Just the, for everybody that might be listening, not the show at all. It was literally the thing that my hated it.
Hated it. Come on after a show that you really liked, and so it made you mad that it was coming on?
No, I didn't watch BET during that time because I was always working, so I never even got a chance to like watch it. So I just don't like that melody.
What was it on? It was on a what? UPN.
Okay.
And what did UPN become?
Yeah, see, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that.
Dang, and that's then, crazy.
Also, like, I just, you know what? That Keisha Cole song that everybody loves.
Oh my god. So you just don't like runs. You don't like when people do runs in songs?
It's certain runs, man. I just can't do it, man. That song right there.
Is that part?
Listen, if you gave me the option of like, yo, you can either listen to this and the girlfriend's intros, or you can smoke crack for the first time, I'm gonna like light it up.
To hear.
Light it up. First time for everything. I'm going to put that crack in my pipe.
That is okay. Well, you know what? That actually brings me to my next question. Let's get into sitcoms. We know you hate Girlfriends, which that was
I don't hate Girlfriends. I've never watched Girlfriends. I don't like.
Well, you should
theme
watch
song.
The episode. Why don't you just fast forward through the theme
Listen,
song?
I know the show is probably good. I'm never hating on the show. It was just the theme song. That's just for crazy. Clarity, because I don't want that to be a hot clip. And it was old TV.
That's what
don't
I'm
going to
name the
women.
Title.
Oh, wow.
I'm naming the title. Hear More Hate. In fact, let me put that into my notes. Hate the show. Girlfriends.
I am going to flag this show for hate speech.
No. I'm literally talking.
It's going to get flagged. It's going to get flagged for hate speech.
That's crazy. Copyright. It's like, how?
Mm-hmm.
How is this copyright?
Flag.
So what sitcoms did you like?
I mean, you know, the traditional Martin, obviously. Living Single, obviously. Cosby Show. Early Different World, then I kind of fell off of that as well.
I know my parents. Did you like that song?
I mean, listen, I didn't watch Different World enough to like really appreciate it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a different thing for me. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Blossom, goddamn me.
Blossom?
Clarissa Explains It All.
I love Clarissa Explains It.
it was
so funny. I like when they talk to the camera. I like that show.
Yeah. What was the other one?
I Feel Involved.
On Nickelodeon with Camp Onomatopoeia or something like that.
Oh, what was the name of that show?
Camp.
It was like Dude Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. That's good. I am upset about that because it's like we're Camp Anawana something something.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's hurting me. Hey, Dude.
No, it wasn't.
It was Hey Dude. Adventures of Pete and Pete. What is the name of that show? That is Salute Your Shorts.
Salute Your Shorts. Yeah.
I used to like Salute Your Shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Pete and Pete? Alex Mack?
No. I think I aged out after that.
When was that? That was Salute Your Shorts was 91, 92.
Okay. So, no, I just, yes, that's when I was watching that. Boy Meets World.
When this boy meets world. That was my shit.
Yeah.
The earlier seasons are like, but once they got to high school.
Yeah.
That's when the drama started happening. Okay. This is where Boy Meets World. Do you think he cheated on Topanga? Oh, I'm sorry. Not did he cheat. He clearly cheated. Do you think he should have went with Lauren? I felt like they had chemistry. When I rewatched the episode, I was like, I would have liked this.
So here's the thing. I watched all of it when it came out in real time. Friday nights, I was TGIF, right? I have not gone back and seen anything. I've seen a couple episodes of Family Guy. I mean, Family Matters here and there, but I haven't rewatched anything from the 90s except for Living Single. I started Martin. Mm. Did not finish it. The only thing I have watched consistently and repeatedly is Living Single. It is probably my favorite 90s sitcom.
What do you like so much about it?
You know what? I think I like the the array of characters that they had. Everybody filled a certain, like, lane. Like, Overton was crafty, was handy, but Cal was suave and, you know, sort of the ladies' man. Khadijah was headstrong and still tough, but also, like, wanted love. Regine wanted money, and that money equated love. Sinclair was kind of ditzy, but she was just so likable, and, you know, she was just a good person to her soul. And Max was just, like, that feisty, fiery, sexy, on her shit woman. Like, I loved it. I loved it. When the new people came in, I stopped watching, though.
I always be tuning out when new people come. I'll be like, I don't know.
I'm good. Yeah.
I am quite all right.
I'll be fucking. Don't trust those new niggas over there. thank you.
I am good. Well, I'll say for me, some of my favorite sitcoms were a lot of ones you named.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Girls. I always rewatch Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. Every time I rewatch it, it still holds up. I did rewatch Boy Meets World when they were in college a little while ago. Still fucking good. I watched Girl Meets World, which was the spinoff because my daughter was watching it. It was okay. It was good at first, and then they started doing too much. They started, like, pandering. I don't like when spinoffs are like, hey, remember this stuff from the old show too much. Mm-hmm. Like, sprinkle it, but don't do the same storylines and all that shit. That should have started pissing me off. Kenan and Kel was probably, like, my number one favorite sitcom growing up.
Never watched it.
Well, yeah, because you were probably, you aged out?
Yeah.
It was funny. I just liked watching black people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, hey, it's black people on TV. I want to watch black people on TV, like Sister, you know, Moesha, mm-hmm. Smart Guy probably is one of my favorite shows. And I know I just said I like watching black people on TV, but Dinosaurs also was.
Dinosaurs was fire too. I love Dinosaurs.
It was a good ass show.
Good show.
Thank you, mama.
Yeah.
Funny ass show. I also thought they were black in my mind. They were black coded for sure. Nobody says. So then, what do you feel like? Oh wait, why do you think we care so much about this stuff? Like, why, especially like people in our age groups? Because you're a millennial, right? Older millennial.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm middle millennial. Mm-hmm. Why do you think we hold on to this shit so much?
So a couple things. First of all, I would say that I've always wanted to be an actor because it gave me a way to escape my real life, right? So if you grow up in poverty, you go up highly impoverished, or you go up, you know, not seeing this different element or this different way of life. You know, for me, acting was a way to escape my reality and live somebody else's, you know what I mean? And then I think there was a different connection when you had to watch things when they came on. Like, it was a different anticipation. There was a different rapport with those characters. You know, you look forward to it, and then if it was an episode that left you on a cliffhanger all week long, you're wondering what's going to happen. What are these writers going to cook up for you? Because there was no Instagram, there was no Facebook, there was no way to know or get any insight. You literally just had to wait. And so that anticipation, that angst, that buildup of excitement and heartbreak and letdown with these characters built a different type of relationship with the actors of the 90s than what we have now with just unlimited access. And so even though, you know, some of the characters might have been white or they might have been a woman or whatever, the writers were all people. And so they had a great way of incorporating everyday scenarios and situations where we may connect with them, even though they might be a different gender or a different race, but just seeing how they would handle that, you know, and if that was the right way, or if they got reprimanded, or if they found out by the end of the episode there was a better way to do that. It kind of like gave you some guidance, especially as a kid, to figure out life. Because sometimes, like, your parents would tell you the same thing that this episode is talking about, but your parent is too close to you. You know what I'm saying? Your parents not cool. Your parents is always just trying to stop the fun. And so you watch this show, you're like, oh shit, they dealing with the same stuff. Oh man, I thought I was the only one getting picked on. I thought I was, you know, the only one going through this. And so you find community in those characters. And it's like, you know, they kind of feel like a distant cousin. I have so many people that come up to me, you know, that seen my videos, or they follow me on Instagram, or they've been watching All Def since they was in high school or whenever. And they say, one of the first things they say, like, bro, I feel like I know you. Because they've watched you grow. They've grown with you. They've seen you in certain situations. Or you made a video about something that you went through that really connected to. And so it's the same thing. It's just a different path of getting to those feelings and that connection.
Hey, man, you really have been cooking this episode. and I agree. That is interesting how that happens. Like you were just saying, like when people feel that connection to you because they've seen your content. How do you deal with that? Like, it's kind of off topic, but on topic, where it starts to feel kind of like people have these parasocial relationships with you. How do you feel about that? And then how do you deal with that?
I think I deal with that by, you know, first of all, showing the appreciation for their support. You know, like making eye contact so they know that, like, this is a genuine interaction for me. I don't ever take it lightly that somebody has been following me for 5, 6, 7 years. I don't ever take it lightly that somebody comes to a show, they took money out of their account that they worked hard for to support me. I never take it lightly that they came up to me to speak. You don't know what that person normally is. They might not be the speaking type. They might be an introvert. They might not have really had the money to be there to support you, but they're there. And so I never take that lightly, you know what I'm saying? I do have to, you know, sometimes establish boundaries. Like, I was talking to a comic on Sunday, and this other guy walked up, was like, yo, I'm giving this comic my number because he's about to get me on some dates out east, on the East Coast. This other guy walked up, who I don't know, you know what I mean? He was like, yo, man, I got this party, man. Let me get your number. I want to invite you out. I said, no. I give my numbers to comics so we can get work together. I don't just be giving my number out. So there are times where you have to instill and establish those boundaries with people. But I feel like I try to do it in a respectful way to where, you know, it doesn't turn them off to me as a person and an entertainer and the person that they know. But at the same time, I am a person and I don't know you. And while I appreciate the support and stuff like that, and I'm very thankful for it, you still have to remind people, like, you know me. You're familiar with me. You're a total stranger to me. Like, I've never met you before. I might have seen some comments. I might not have seen comments. But you're a stranger to me. And while I appreciate the support, I still have to protect my peace and my safety.
I agree. Have you had, especially because you do post your family and stuff, have you had any weird interactions with people coming up to, like, Farron or your child or anything like that? Because I had one at the airport, and this was a little while ago. This was before I even had, like, the same amount of followers I have now, and that shit was weird. Like, I was getting our stuff, so I told her, because we had our dog, I was like, okay, you just go sit down and I'll go get our stuff. Uh-huh. And then she came up to me and was like, yeah, this lady came up and asked me if I was Roxy Hayes's daughter. And we were getting on the same plane, and so yeah, she was like, oh yeah, I was talking to your daughter. I said, hey, you know, nice to meet you, but, like, don't ever talk to my child again.
Yeah,
that was real weird. And she was just like, oh no, I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'm not mad, but I am, like, don't talk
boundaries.
To people.
It's boundaries.
Children. Yeah, like, why are you talking to my child? So has that ever happened to you, or, like, even maybe somebody saying something?
Oh,
to parents?
Absolutely, on both accounts. Like, you know, I've definitely had to do that, and for a while, when we would be out in the mall or anywhere, I would kind of walk in front of them to try to shield them from people running up with the camera, because, you know, like, it's actually even worse now, but, like, when people started, like, seeing you out and recognizing you, you know, they're excited for the picture, and it's cool if I'm by myself, but when I'm with my family, like, they didn't sign up for that initially. Like, this is before Farron had, you know, started her podcast and everything, so it's like... I don't want to throw them in my deep end of the pool unless they've engaged and already admitted to wanting to be there. Like, I don't want to cause them distress or uncomfortability when they're with me. So me walking in front of them was a way to try to protect them from that and shield them from that.
Dang. Shit. Well, on a lighter note... I got some this or that questions.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
And it's don't think about it.
Okay.
All right. J.K. Simmons and Whiplash or J.K. Simmons is J. Jonah Jameson and Spider-Man?
Whiplash.
Whiplash, why?
I mean, the character was just way more grounded. He had all the leeway to make all the choices for that. Jonah Johnson was known for being an asshole, so you just fit that description. But like the decisions he made as an actor, throwing stuff at the other actors, the cussing out, the insults. He was like, I remember one thing he told this guy, he's like, "That's not your boyfriend's cock, don't you come too fast." He's like, "Don't you rush that fucking
door." Yo, that shit was crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's why I've always wanted to play a villain. I've never really wanted to play a hero. Because a hero, you know, you standing up for what's right. Justice, peace, and the American way, all of that shit. But villains have so many splinters that you can go off into. Like, I think one of the greatest things that made Heath Ledger an amazing actor in that role of the Joker is, like, you couldn't pinpoint what caused that riff in his personality and made him be. Was it the mom? Was it the dad? Was it society? Was it just because? Was he just an agent of chaos? You didn't know. But he had so many grounding memories and stories that it just all came together so well. So I feel like a villain is always a better character to play, especially if you one that's going to get a lot of screen time.
Ooh, okay. So if you were playing a villain, what would that look like?
It depends on, like, the storyline. It depends on the storyline. It depends on the...
If you could do, like, your ideal one, like, you're making it up.
Man, I would probably do something that, you know, is driven by either grief or vengeance. Someone that is, you know, kind of obsessed with settling the score, but doing it in a very different... meticulous way. I would also love to throw some petty in there, you know what I'm saying? Like, be the type of villain that, like, breaks in your house and just messes with you, like rubs poison ivy over all the surfaces, all the couches. You know what I'm saying? Like, just diabolical with the shit. Like, yo, why would you do that? You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's just step one, baby. Like, I'm gonna be fucking with you for the next 6 months. Like, that's just the four. That's not even an intro to the shit I'm about to get in. This is the four.
Little inconveniences.
Yeah. But like, also like, just like, you know, like breaking and stuff. Like, imagine somebody broke in your house, right? And they just moved stuff around, right? They didn't do anything, but like, just knowing that somebody was in your house, in your personal space, they didn't move stuff around. You could tell that glasses had been taken out, or somebody had drank something, or somebody had laid in your bed. Like, you feel violated in a different way, and it's scary because you don't know how they got in, how many times they've been in. Like, that type of shit is way more scary, I think, than somebody like just banging on your door running.
Yeah, I think even when, like, they were talking about the Diddy trial, and Kid Cudi was explaining all the stuff he did. And to me, legit, one of the creepiest things that he said he did was he, like, opened one of his packages. And I don't know why that, like, legit shit sent, like, a shiver up my spine. Mm-hmm. Just, like, somebody touching your shit, like, touching my stuff, opening my packages?
Mm-hmm.
My private things? Yeah, hey, that would... Hey, make that movie, because I want to be the hero. That's the type of shit that I would have to beat your ass. We got to fight over this.
Yeah,
hey. Do you like Martin or Fresh Prince better?
Man. I think Martin, because I've definitely tried to rewatch that. I think the characters are so great. I think Martin was amazing at the improv and just his acting ability to be so many different characters. Fresh Prince was definitely great. It was definitely more family oriented and wholesome, but Martin was just he was a fool, bro. And so I gotta go Martin, man.
Ooh, not mad about it. 90s sitcoms or 2000s mockumentaries?
90s.
90 sitcoms all the way?
Yeah. What? All the way. And another one that I didn't get a chance to mention that I absolutely love. Two more. Will and Grace. Fire.
Oh, Will
and Fire.
Will and Grace is fire. Yo. Even the when they brought it back.
Yeah, man, the brought back was cool. But the original, oh my, with Jack was probably one of the best characters in any sitcom across the board. It was like that role was made for him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like he was timing was always impeccable. Energy was always he was amazing, right? And then also Frasier. Frasier was so
oh, I love good. Frasier.
Great writing, so witty, so fast paced. The characters were so grounded. I remember for the first season and maybe the half of the second season, how Niles used to always bring out his handkerchief and wipe the seat before he sat down. Like he eventually dropped that, but like that little nuance, that little action really just resonated mm-hmm. with me, because it's like, man, that really is that type of person. He really is that type of snob, snooty type of person, but he's also approachable, but he also like just likes what he likes and doesn't like what he doesn't like.
I fuck with it. That's a solid choice. Okay, I got a couple more. Let's see. Where I scroll down too much. Would you rather binge a 10-season drama or rewatch a perfect 90-minute movie?
Probably the 90-minute movie. I am such a stickler with my time. Like the 10-season binge would probably be great. But I'm like, man, I can knock this out, get this entertainment, then I can go make something. I am still struggling and working on allowing myself to be present and relax and not always be in survival mode. And so me choosing a movie is me still being in that survival mode, because it's like, all right, I get an hour and a half and then I can get back to work.
Yeah. All right. Makes sense. So here's my last thing for you before we wrap this one up, which is thank you once again. This has been a great episode.
Absolutely.
So it's on what you just said. You're out of survival mode, right? Mm-hmm. You're getting a day to yourself to do whatever you want, and not to where you have something to do later. Your mind is completely clear. You are by yourself. The day is yours to do whatever you want, and what you choose to do today is you're like, I want to stay in the house and have a comfort day, right? I want to watch something comfortable. All of that, eat something comfortable, like build that day. What would you do?
Ooh. Okay. First of all, I'm going out to Joshua Tree. I'm getting a house with a nice pool, jacuzzi, and no one around me. I am ordering pizza and Dr. Pepper and Mountain Dew. I'm going to drink both.
What kind of pizza?
Hands down, got to be a nice... Well, I was going to say meat lovers, but I actually like pepperoni and chicken. Extra sauce. Stuffed crust. If it's not stuffed crust, then I would prefer the deep dish. Oh, my God, that sounds good. If there's a place out here that has some fire-ass fries, I want to order one on DoorDash and then one on Uber Eats. Well, not Uber Eats, because we ain't fuck with Uber. Fuck the CEO. But I'll just order...
What do you do?
He supports the beautiful Big Bill, Big Beautiful Bill.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, and he also is just not, he's so rich, he doesn't understand the hardships of the common man. So, no, I don't fuck with that. But, yeah, I'll order Pizza Hut directly from them, and then I would order DoorDash for some good-ass, like, Rally's fries, or somebody got some good-ass fries. And, yeah, man, I would probably watch The Matrix, goddamn me. I would watch Whiplash. And then I would close it out with either some Family Guy or Naked and Afraid.
Oh, you fuck with Naked and Afraid?
What? Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
I could see.
Heavy. Love it. I have nothing but trauma in my life. So a show about people going through hardships for 21 days. White people, when the world has been their oyster and they are choosing to go through this hardship. Oh, yes. Sign me up, baby.
You said I am in there.
Yes. Like booty hair.
I think we would kind of have similar days, except so I would get, and I've been wanting those, one of the small ones. I think it's in Big Bear. It's like those getaway cabins.
Yeah, I've done those.
And
yep.
It's just you. Are they nice?
Yeah, they're nice. Yeah, I've done
those. I want to do that so bad. And then I'm definitely bringing weed. I'm going to smoke. I'm going to like have my phone turned off. I'm assuming in this scenario, my child is with someone I completely trust. Everyone's fine. Right. So I'm going to be in there. I'm going to, same thing, I'm going to have some pizza, but I'm also going to bring like some stuff to cook just for me, like some coffee, some tea, and I'm going to just be playing music with some big ass headphones on. When I decide to watch something, I'm going to put on Howl's Moving Castle. I think I'm probably going to watch, honestly, all of the studio Ghibli movies. There's 22 movies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I probably legit would just put on all 22 of those movies and just, like, let them play.
Yeah. I'm going to take my DJ equipment with me, and I'm going to DJ naked, ooh, too.
Yeah, definitely got to be naked. DJ naked. Take a slow shower, just, like, lotioned, and just be booty out. Yeah. Oh, my God. That sounds great. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make that happen for a day. I might try to do that sometime next year because I don't have no money. But when I do, that's what I will do. That sounds amazing.
Your money's on the way. We're gonna stop saying you don't have any money. Yeah. You gotta just change your
perspective. I don't have it right now.
Not even that. My money's on the way.
It's on the way, money.
Yeah, money's on the way, man. Like, I've been in this whole enlightenment phase. I've really been working on changing my verbiage and, you know, speaking things that I don't want to happen and focusing on those things versus, you know, like, my money's on the way. I'm about to have the best career I could ever ask for. I'm going to be in the most amazing shapes. Just more I am than I don't have. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, just focus on that, man. It's going to help and it's going to change a lot of things in your life when you just start shifting your perspective and you start shifting the way you speak to the universe.
I'm going to get a man with a big dick and a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to look like a black version of Howl's Moving Castle with locks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
Pay for everything.
I love that you're being unrealistic. Go ahead. Reach for the dream. Reach for the stars.
You said I could have.
I did. And that's what I said. Just keep going. Yeah.
And we're going to dance in the sky. Like in the movie that you were going to watch. We could do that. Just get on some shrooms. All right. But thank you so much to hear this was dope. Thank you so much for pulling up and talking about stuff that holds us together. One episode of Living Single at a Time. Tell the people where they can follow you, what you've got. I don't know when this episode is dropping.
Yeah.
But anything that you are maybe continuously working on or big projects that you have coming up.
And you can just find me at To Hear More on Instagram. Everything for the most part gets posted there, and what's not posted there, you can hit the link tree in that bio and find out everything else. Going back on tour with Kev and Tony in the fall, and then I'm starting my own tour in the winter, so I'll be around. We're coming to your city soon.
Let's fucking go. So make sure to be on the lookout for all of that. You can also check To Hear out on all the socials, which I may link somewhere depending on where you're listening to this at. So y'all listening, whether your comfort media is Moesha, Mad Max, or Moana, keep holding on to the stuff that makes you feel good because you deserve it. Don't forget to subscribe, share the episode, and tell me your comfort movie lineup because I'm fucking nosy. Love y'all. Be kind to yourself and always stay curious or do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. Peace.
There's no direction. This place is just all over the place.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to follow me on social media at Roxy Hayes, RoxyHaze. And if you'd like to support the show and get access to exclusive content, visit my Patreon at patreon.com/RoxyHaze. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. See you next time, and stay curious.